Hi everyone, welcome back to the MedBullet Step 2 and 3 podcast. In today's episode, we cover the topic of sulfasalazine found under the gastrointestinal section at medbullets.com. Let's begin with a clinical snapshot. A 20-year-old girl presents to her primary care physician with abdominal pain, non-bloody diarrhea, and unexpected weight loss. On physical exam, she is noted to have aphthous stomatitis and perianal skin tags. She is referred to the gastroenterologist, where she underwent a colonoscopy demonstrating non-contiguous cobblestone mucosa of the small intestine, along with a couple of ulcers. Histology reveals non-caseating granulomas. As she has a history of allergies to sulfa medications, she was not started on sulfasalazine. She is instead started on loperamide, an anti-diarrhea medication, as well as oral steroids with plans to transition to a biologic agent. Let's continue with an introduction to sulfasalazine. The mechanism of action is that it is activated by gut bacteria and metabolized into sulfapyridine and 5-aminosalicylic acid, or 5-ASA. 5-ASA is an anti-inflammatory and it inhibits leukotriene synthesis and lipoxygenase. Sulfapyridine is antibacterial. Clinically, it is used for inflammatory bowel disease, such as ulcerative colitis and Crohn's disease. It is also used in the treatment of juvenile rheumatoid arthritis. Adverse effects include gastrointestinal upset, drug rash, hemolytic anemia in those with G6PD deficiency, malaise, reversible oligospermia, and it is contraindicated in patients with an allergy to sulfa medicines and in porphyria. Now that we've discussed the major points relating to sulfasalazine, let's walk through a question to apply what we've learned and get a sense of how the topic might be tested. For this question, consider the following clinical scenario. A 23-year-old woman presents to her primary care provider complaining of diarrhea. She reports a 2-month history of 3 to 4 bloody stools per day, as well as 10 pounds of unexpected weight loss. She has also developed intermittent mild gnawing lower abdominal pain. Her past medical history is unremarkable. She takes no medications and denies any drug allergies. Her family history is notable for colon cancer in her maternal aunt, rheumatoid arthritis in her paternal aunt, and Sjogren's syndrome in her paternal grandmother. Her temperature is 99.1 degrees Fahrenheit, or 37.3 degrees Celsius. Blood pressure is 120 over 85. Pulse is 85 beats per minute, and respirations are 18 breaths per minute. On exam, she has mild hypogastric tenderness to palpation. A stool guaiac test is positive. Flexible sigmoidoscopy demonstrates hyperemic and friable rectal mucosa. She is started on a medication to address her condition, but presents to her physician 1 week later with a severe sunburn and skin itchiness following limited exposure to sunlight. Which of the following is the mechanism of action of the medication she received? And the answer choices are: Choice 1, calcineurin inhibitor. Choice 2, COX inhibitor. Choice 3, dihydrofolate reductase inhibitor. Choice 4, DNA gyrase inhibitor, or choice 5, NF-kappa-B inhibitor. The best answer to this question is choice 2, COX inhibitor. The patient in this vignette presents with photosensitivity following treatment with the drug for ulcerative colitis. The drug in question is sulfasalazine, a composite medication containing a COX inhibitor and sulfa antibiotic, that may present with a sulfa-related toxicity, such as photosensitivity. Sulfasalazine is one of the first-line treatments for inflammatory bowel disease. It contains sulfapyridine, a sulfa-based antibiotic, and 5-aminosalicylic acid, a COX inhibitor. The medication is split in the colon by colonic bacteria into its 2 active components. The main toxicity of sulfasalazine is related to the sulfa component of the drug and may present with photosensitivity, nephrotoxicity, hepatotoxicity, or hemolysis in patients with G6PD deficiency. Let's also discuss why the other choices are incorrect. Choice 1. Calcineurin inhibitors include tacrolimus and cyclosporine. These are anti-inflammatory medications that are used to treat certain autoimmune conditions and prevent transplant rejection. Toxicities of calcineurin inhibitors include nephrotoxicity and neurotoxicity, among others. Choice 3. Methotrexate is a dihydrofolate reductase inhibitor that is used to treat certain cancers and autoimmune conditions. Toxicities of methotrexate include myelosuppression, mucositis, and macrovesicular hepatitis. Choice 4. Fluoroquinolone antibiotics inhibit DNA gyrase, thereby inhibiting DNA synthesis. These are not used in the treatment of inflammatory bowel disease. Toxicities of fluoroquinolones include gastrointestinal upset and cartilage damage. Choice 5. Corticosteroids reduce inflammation by inhibiting gene expression by NF-kappa B and other pro-inflammatory mediators. Although corticosteroids are sometimes used to treat inflammatory bowel disease, they have a different toxicity profile than sulfa drugs. Finally, a bullet summary. Sulfasalazine toxicity is largely related to the sulfa components of the drug and presents as photosensitivity, nephrotoxicity, hepatotoxicity, or hemolysis. That's all for this review about sulfasalazine. We hope that was helpful. This is the MedBullets Step 2 and 3 podcast, a daily audio review session from MedBullets, the free learning and collaboration community for medical student education. As a reminder, you can follow along with these podcast episodes by reviewing the topics directly on MedBullets.com. You can listen to these episodes on the MedBullets website or phone app while reading through the topic. If the MedBullets podcast has been valuable to you, we'd be thrilled if you considered leaving us a 5-star rating and writing us a review on Apple Podcasts. It will help us spread the word and increase our discoverability tremendously. Thanks for tuning in. We'll see you all tomorrow, right here, on the MedBullets Step 2 and 3 podcast.